This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Better Love and Sex with Davey Ward, exploring ways for you to awaken, heal, and transform your relationships in and out of the bedroom. Are you looking for practical tools to create more connection, passion, and pleasure in your life? Get some right now with your host, Davey Ward.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Better Love and Sex. This is your host, Davey Ward, and I want to thank you once again for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful Thursday evening for another exciting edition where we explore ever more ways for all of us, because I learn with every show as well as you, all of us to awaken, heal, and transform our sexuality so that we can have more love, better sex, and ultimately live lives that are nourishing, fulfilling, and fully expressed. And I want to talk a little bit about, before we start our show this evening, because we have a beautiful show lined up, and I'm really excited to speak with our author this evening, Barry Selby, and he's going to school us on some of the traps of online dating and how to have sex all day and what to talk about after sex, all these fun things I can't wait to hear about. But before we get into that, I want to share a little bit about self-expression. And kind of do a little housekeeping from our show a couple weeks ago with Dr. Paul Tanari when we were discussing the role that female ejaculatory orgasms play in the overall health and functioning of a woman's lymphatic system. And I sent out a little newsletter a couple weeks ago, I think it was last week, in which I proposed... I'm gonna pause for a minute. Barry, darling, are you typing in the background there?
Yes, I should stop doing that.
You should stop doing that because I can totally hear that, and I've been trying to ignore it, but I just can't. So, so tell us all about what you're writing in just a few minutes. But so I sent out this newsletter last week about Ken proposing. It's a question. Ken. Female orgasms help in the prevention of cancer. And apparently, some people love that idea and listen to the show and could naturally deduce that, yes, that could possibly help in cancer prevention, having female ejaculatory orgasms. But some people apparently were extremely offended by this idea. They called it preposterous, and they called me an idiot. So I just want to say that, my friends out there, I love your feedback, and we can agree to disagree. I'm totally happy for us to not share the same opinion, but I'm going to request that if you don't share my opinion, let's not call each other names. Okay? I'm not going to call you an asshole, and don't call me an idiot because we don't have the same opinion. Just a request, you know? I mean, you can call that, you can say what you want about me in the privacy of your own home, but if you're going to send me an email letting me know you don't agree with my opinion, I'm going to request that you do it with kindness and respect, okay? So that being done, in regards to orgasms being helpful in cancer prevention, I decided to call up Paul yesterday and ask him point blank because I realized that he did not say it on the air, that he thinks that female ejaculatory orgasms can play a part in cancer prevention. He did not say that on the air. So I asked him that question specifically, and he said absolutely yes, okay, for the same reason that lymph massage can help with the prevention of breast cancer. It has been statistically proven that lymph work, any kind of lymphatic drainage work, it has been statistically shown, he says, that any kind of lymph drainage work does help in the prevention of cancer, and female ejaculatory orgasms would be considered and are considered part of that preventative lymph drainage work. So there you go. And in fact, he believes in it so strongly that he's working with women who are post chemotherapy and supporting them and having explosive, copious amounts of fluid, ejaculatory orgasms on a daily basis to help purge the chemicals from their bodies from chemotherapy and restore optimum functioning of their lymphatic system. And we're going to sit down next week and we are going to actually book in a show so he can talk directly about the potentially cancer-preventing benefits of female orgasm. So we're doing a show all about that, okay? So keep your eyes peeled for that posting, and you can hear it straight from the doctor's mouth, okay? So there we go. The other little tidbit before we dive into our super exciting adventure this evening, Adventures in Davyland, on September 25th, I want to give you all a heads up and a shout out. September 25th, I will be in Vancouver speaking at the G is for Goddess event presented by Lunapads. Lunapads, we had the founder, Madeline Shaw, on a couple months back talking about having healthy yoni pillows for us women to bleed on every month. But they have done an event called G is for Girl. I can't remember what it is. It's G Day, Girl Day, where it helps empower young women in their sexuality and their sensuality and their self-expression. And they decided to do one for women, grown folk, because they had such rave reviews and so many women were saying, well, we want an event just for us. We want an event about embracing our goddess and celebrating our goddess. So I am so honored that I have been asked to present there, presenting about sexual pleasure, sensual pleasure, embracing pleasure. It's freaking medicine. That pleasure in all its myriad forms, but especially I'm going to say orgasmic pleasure because, hey, it could possibly help prevent cancer, just saying, as well as all the other myriad of health benefits that orgasms bring to our body, our spirit, and our heart. So I will be there. If you want to find out more, if you want to come see me present and all the other fabulous people, you can find out more. Go to Facebook. G is for Goddess. Just type that in the search. G is for Goddess. And I'll give you the actual registration website here. So if you have a pen, it is www.picatic.com. Picatic. Oh, that's what it is. Picatic.com/G is for Goddess. Okay, so G is for Goddess. And again, you can look that up, search that on Facebook. G is for Goddess, and it'll take you to the event page. All right. Without further ado, I would love to give a round of applause. Woo! Welcome our guest this evening, Barry Selby, who's got a very sexy accent. I can't wait till you get to hear it. He is the love confidant, professional speaker, published author, and relationship transformation expert who specializes in empowering his clients to create conscious, passionate, and deep relationships. No superficial bullshit. His heart and passion is to empower successful single women to embrace and own their authentic feminine power and attract the best in their men. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Barry.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, okay. So just talk. Your accent's fabulous. Just tell us stuff. What color is the sky?
I'll pull out the phone book and just read names if you want me to.
So where does that incredible accent come from?
Originally from England. I'm an Essex boy by birth and lived in the States for 33 years now.
So, Barry, do you find that your accent just makes women weak in the knees?
It depends on what they're doing at the time, but it has come in handy, yes.
Yes, I'm definitely prone. It makes my knees weak. It makes my lower extremities throb and pulse in a delicious way. So
that could help.
Yeah, you know, hey, you're priming me for after the show. Thanks so much. So Barry is the author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. Tell me about that.
That book really, it's funny, I had a conversation with a friend recently how I looked at that book and I still don't really see it as this big publication. It's just my notes and ideas in written form. But truthfully, the book is my foundational, maybe, idea about what works in a relationship, what doesn't work. So it's 50 keys that make your relationship rock, and if you don't do them, it'll suck.
Mm-hmm. And so, and I read, skimmed through part of it, but actually like sat and read, especially your introduction to the book. And you spoke about how your relationship when you were young, the relationship that you saw modeled to you by your parents was like, it was kind of like a fairy tale in some ways. Like they never fought. They always liked each other. There was a lot of, you know, physical touching and that sort of thing. So what you got to observe as a child was this kind of ideal relationship. But you talk about in the beginning of the book how that kind of like set you up for failure later on in life because you had this expectation that all of your relationships were supposed to look like that. And then if they didn't, then it was time to get rid of them.
Exactly. I mean, and also the truth is, I was looking through, you know, youthful eyes, and may not have seen all the story, the whole picture. But having parents that never really argued in front of me, and that now, bear in mind, again, being from England, there is a certain reserve and a lack of emotional expression. So some of that lack of arguing was purely the fact that we had everything repressed.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth was, my parents had a wonderful relationship. My mother passed away in 2012 after 59 years of marriage. So my parents had a long relationship together, and yes, that model, because I didn't learn how they did it or how to do it, I thought, oh, this can be easy. Just find the right one, get married, settle down, have a life together, and it's perfect. Not so fast. And that was where the thing became challenging, is that I went out into the dating world in my teens and didn't have any tools, first of all, to handle anything beyond a nice relationship. So when I'd meet a woman, we get together, have a nice chemistry-based connection for a few months, and then when that wore off and we got to the nitty-gritty and upset would happen, I would walk away because I didn't know what to do with that. In fact, I thought if we argued, we couldn't be in love, therefore I should walk away.
Mm-hmm. So then how did you get over that? Because that's a huge thing. Like I call it the Walt Disney syndrome, which is not just specifically Walt Disney, but also all our fairy tale romantic movies. It's like they just show the coming together and the falling in love and the hormones, but they don't show you what happens 6 months later when the hormones run out and you're pregnant and you got a baby, you know, or 2 years down the road when you got two kids and you lost your job. Like, how do you make a relationship work with no love drug going on, and then also with the normal like ins and outs and ups and downs and fluctuations that happen in an everyday life? What do you do?
Well, there's a whole list of things. I mean, for me, it put me on a journey that I've been on for 30 years, studying human development, personal growth, and understanding how people work and don't work together. There are those who get together and it comes from the get-go easy and graceful, which is a miracle, and it's a very rare and almost like a unicorn, to be honest. It doesn't happen that often. I believe that it's possible to do it, but you have to be willing to get support. You have to be willing to ask questions, and you have to be willing to own your own stuff to make it work. Those are the sort of key things I would start with.
Mm-hmm. So owning your own stuff, that's a big one. I think that's a primary one.
Yes, and it's probably the biggest part of the work I do now, because I've learned for myself is we get trapped into this thing about it's the other person, so it's their fault. Versus, yes. What is my role in this? What am I participation? And what can I do to change what I've been doing so it gets better? Not to placate the other person, but to be more autonomous in my own strength, my own self.
Mm-hmm. Be more self-responsible. So, okay, so that's a good foundation. We can dive more into depth. But one of the things that we were thinking about having you talk about, and this is pertinent to me because I do a lot of online dating, or I used to, taking mm-hmm. a break. And so you say that there is a trap in online dating. So could you explain that a bit more? What is the trap of online dating?
Well, the biggest trap, and also I will extend online dating to smartphone apps because they've blown up big time in the last 2 or 3 years with OkCupid, Tinder, all these other different apps out there, Plenty of Fish. They're the same thing. So in terms of online dating and smartphone apps, the biggest trap is the illusion. Mm. The thing about these online – and one part of that is – and let's put some – foundational parts in here. Men and women are very different, obviously, both physically, but also the way we respond and the way we are interacting out in the world. In the old values, men are a lot of hunters. Now, women hunt a lot too, but in the terms of hunting, in terms of dating, we're always searching by sight. So we look at pictures to see, is this the one, is this the one, is this the one? And we go through systematically evaluating what fits our needs. And women, if they're in the masculine, we do the same thing. But what women want is connection. And online dating does not provide that very easily. And that's where the trap is. The trap is that women will read a whole fairy tale into someone's profile, which is not there, based upon a picture. They can try and get a guess of what the person's like. And then when they go out with them, they're usually deflated by that experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so there's that. I mean, me personally, I don't like to spend a lot of time interacting with people online because I do so much of that for my work. So if mm-hmm. I, you know, am dating or someone pops up and I totally look at pictures, I mean, it's important to me. I want the person to look good and smell good and taste good and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. as well as feel good. So I don't spend a lot of time actually interacting online, but the one thing about online dating is there's so many freaking people. I mean, it kind of gives you the sense of abundance.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether it's, you know, artificial or real, it's like when your inbox is blowing up with potentials, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. So
absolutely. So
you're saying the trap is comes when there's a tremendous amount of time being spent online with a less like physical interaction, or
there's living the fantasy, yes. And there's one more piece, which I'm bringing some of the big guns out early in this, but truth about owning your own stuff. One of the things that I've learned for myself and many other people is that we pick up patterns very young about how we're going to be in a relationship. It's default. It's the default. We learn from models and we take that on. So if we find that a pattern isn't working for us, a way of interacting that's not lining up, it could be because it's abusive or it's abandoning or something where we're having issues with every partner we meet. Until we resolve that, even if you do go online dating with a totally unknown person, you look at a picture and go, it's a nice person, 9 times out of 10 when you go out with them, the same thing's going to happen again. Because the pattern, if it's not resolved, will be repeating itself on automatic pilot.
Right, exactly. So that's the thing about serial monogamy and, like, you know, why do we get married five times in a row to the same person with a different face, right? It's because if we haven't shifted our own internal patterns, like you just said, and dealt with our own shit, then we're just going to keep perpetuating it over and over and over again.
It's one of the gifts and one of the curses of this life, in a way. There's not much you can do about it. It really does happen. And it's almost like a heat-seeking missile. It'd be almost homing into that without even trying. It happens automatically.
So then do you have some tips and tools in your book for dealing with your own kind of your own stuff? Like, what do you suggest?
Yes, I do. And a large part of that is to look back at your life and see where that started from. The simplest part, and I'm being a therapist here, but you've got to look back at your history and see where it started, because that's the seed that's been producing these plants. And if you go back and uproot that seed once and for all, you'll shift the pattern. Now, there's different ways of doing that, but that's what I give as a guideline. I mean, you can work with doing books, going to seminars, working with coaches, working with therapists. There's different ways of doing it. But if it's not working for you, you need to do something about it. It's that simple.
So basically what you're saying is you're encouraging people to be responsible and conscious and aware and look at, okay, so am I, you know, is it the same relationship with a different face mm-hmm. over and over and over again? And what can I, if I want to have a different experience, then I have to do something different internally.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not necessarily the smartest guy on the planet, but I'm also not the dumbest guy on the planet. And I do this pattern several times in a row before I went, hang on a second. It isn't them, it's me.
Oh.
So I've had the wake-up call too, so I know all of us have the opportunity, and everyone who has not done this work of any sort is likely still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about what to do to break the pattern, relationship rebound versus makeup sex, and how to have sex all day. It's probably not what you're thinking. I can't wait to find out. All right, we'll be right back.
Ready to take a quantum leap in your life and experience your sexuality as a path of personal transformation, emotional healing, and spiritual growth? Are you ready to transform the lives of women and men all over the world? Then get ready for the 2015 Tibetan Tantra Certification Program. Be one of the first in the world to become certified in the only lineage-based style of Tantra in the West. Registration is open now until September 1st, and spaces are limited. Find out more at DavyWardTantra.com. You spend hundreds of dollars on maintaining your health and wellness. However, your sexual satisfaction is an area you may often overlook. Don't you think it's about time you invested in your sex life too? If you crave deep intimacy, passion, and mind-blowing orgasms, get the tools you need to take you there. Register for your free video introduction at AuthenticTantra.com right now and make an investment in your pleasure. After all, isn't your sex life worth it?
Welcome back to Better Love and Sex. I am your host, Davy Ward, and I am here speaking with the wonderful Mr. Barry Selby, author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover and Love Confident Extraordinaire. And he is schooling us on our internal patterns that give rise to us continuing to create the same relationship suffering over and over and over again. And I have a question for you. In your experience, do you find, many, because you work specifically with women, is that correct?
That's my primary focus, although if somebody wants to work with me as a man, I can do that too. I just generally find women are more seeking my help than men are.
Okay. So do you find that this is a common thing, that we as women, we tend to just kind of attract the same guy over and over again, like same guy, different face?
With a survey based upon the clients I've worked with, I would say yes. Largely, that's the case. I can say this. If you imagine that men and women are walking around with their... let's put it this way. We as humans are like icebergs. There's a little bit on the surface you see above the water, and then below the water is a whole bunch of stuff going on, just the subconscious, all the other pieces. And truth is, when we meet each other, we may be seeing each other in a bar or in a restaurant or where we're meeting, and you see the experience on expression on the outside, their appearance and everything else, that's tip of the iceberg. The stuff below the surface is still working, even though you haven't introduced yourselves necessarily. So the patterns that he has and she have will fit together like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
So they're going to happen automatically, and they become more magnetic than what's above the water because it's bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess we've kind of already talked about it, but I always want to know. I want to know what to do. So, because you know, the thing is we're part of this culture, and this culture is not entirely healthy in many ways. And so the reality is you know, we're raised by our parents who aren't enlightened, and we get raised in this culture which isn't enlightened. So we all have our stuff, and we all have our mm-hmm. patterns and our relationships that we drag around with us.
Indeed.
Yeah, and all of our unconscious stuff. And so when you're working with a client, what is the first thing that you do to help them recognize their core shit and then start, like, getting rid of it or transforming it?
Well, the first thing before that even is to say, okay, first of all, for the period we're working together right now, you're going to be single. Because the thing is, many people will choose to just go from one relationship to the next one, staying fully immersed without stepping free to see what's going on in their own lives. So they don't actually have a relationship with themselves anymore. They've been so much in relationships. So first step is spend time with yourself, because you've got to know who you really are before you can have really what you want in a relationship. Mm-hmm. The piece then beyond that is, okay, if you recognize there's a similar pattern happening, what is it? What is it that you're noticing that's the same thing happening 17 times in a row? And then the work, when I do work with clients, is I take them back through that journey to when it happened at 4 years old that they found their dad or their mother said something, did something where they had an experience, or their brother or something happened where they just suddenly said, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And that became their rule for dating and love from that point forward, because that's the experience they had. And because it happened at a young age, before the age of 8, it was basically impressed as being the law. There was no discernment, no intelligence to say, is this really true? It was just presumed automatically to be the truth.
Mm-hmm. And then we just unconsciously keep reenacting that over and over and over again until we get it pointed out, until we do something to stop it.
The first step is to be aware of it. It's the first thing always is, like, you know, when you become aware of it, things can shift automatically. Then beyond that is to do healing work, which may be to do forgiveness work or journaling or writing a letter, right, is there's a number of things that can be done to transform it. Yes, there are ways physically with different forms of dance and other things too that I'm not an expert in, but I do know friends mm-hmm. who teach this. So there are different modalities and formats that do help you get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. That's you know, I have to say that that is just the beauty of humanity. It's like we have all this crap, but the reality is there's always a way to get rid of it. Like every illness or dysfunction that can be understood can be healed, cured, and transformed. That's just, I truly believe that. If we can understand the root cause and we apply the right medicine, it can be transformed. And then we use it as compost. Then we use it as fuel, like you're doing in your life, use it as fuel to support life and benefit others. I just think that's so beautiful.
Thank you. That's why I love doing it.
Yes, exactly. So tell me about this concept of relationship rebound versus makeup sex. What's the difference? Do you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Well, to be honest, relationship rebound does kind of tie into the previous one where, as I mentioned, that sometimes some people, they don't know how to exist without being in a relationship, and that's the biggest trap. So first of all, relationship rebound is literally the it's like being underwater the whole time, that coming up for air, and it may change. You may change who you're with, but it's still the same experience, and it's not very healthy. And to make things even more fun is that because you don't have time to breathe and step out into your own space and heal and grow, all that stuff you have with your old partner, you're dragging into the new partner, and they'll take it on without having any choice. Yeah. So not healthy. Now, makeup sex. I'm playing this a little bit because of my own history. As I mentioned, as a kid, like teenager in early 20s. My dating life was really, what's the word you used, Pollyanna? It was like, I know you said Disney, which is an interesting thing because you said about how Disney has its own model.
Yep.
And just a slight sidetrack, you know, I had a sudden thought about you to a Disney model. Well, look at all the Disney queens, godmothers. They're usually pretty upset people.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's the thing. They get out of the princess stage and then it all sucks.
Yes, exactly. They're the two kids and whatever divorces later as they turn into the ugly stepmother or whatever.
Indeed. Anyway, so go back to my own path and pattern. I missed out on makeup sex many times because I would walk away when we got into an argument. And to be honest, makeup sex is a wonderful thing when it's done for the right reasons. Because again, sometimes makeup sex is purely because the rage is so strong and the passion is so strong that overrides any logical reasoning and any chance to work things out, which means that the issue or the upset that started the upset in the first place hasn't been resolved. It's been buried because the passion rose up. It's fun, but again, long-term is not a solution. It's not going to help the relationship grow. So makeup sex is great, especially after the issue, the upset, the whatever it is, has been resolved. So then the love is deeper and wider and open, so that makeup sex is so much more pleasurable. So they're not so much makeup sex and rebound are the same or different. They're both keys to learning about how we can become more autonomous and also more excited and exciting in our love lives.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds with the relationship rebound, when you just go from one relationship to another without taking a break, that seems pretty unfair to like drag all of our past relationship stuff from our other partner into our current relationships. I mean, I think we do that anyway without being aware, without being conscious of it, because we just can't help it, right? But this idea of just jumping from relationship to relationship without taking a pause and without taking a breath to reflect and self-connect and to learn, basically, to learn and to grow and to heal. But do you find that that's a common pattern for people?
It depends. Well, I'm quite for this. Again, my information is not based on like a nationwide survey, but it seems like most people I know tend to spend time either in relationships a lot or out of them a lot. It's not me, but most people don't tend to be like in relationships for a few years, like several relationships, and then take a break. It's usually all one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel, what is your approach to like dating multiple people?
From a male point of view or a female point of view?
from your point of view as the love confidant, we'll use my life for an example. You know, dating several people, having several for me is two. That's a lot. It's more than one. That's a lot to keep wrap my head around. That's what qualifies as several for me.
Well, that's good to know. Okay.
Two or more. So what do you think that's, like a healthy behavior? Do you think that, I mean, not that I want you to like qualify healthy or unhealthy, but I guess, for women who come to you for support for, dating and relationships, because some dating coaches encourage women to kind of play the field, don't settle down, don't be too available for him. Like, let him know that he's one of many, and that can like have him be more interested. What do you think about that?
Well, there's in the masculine mindset, we're competitors. Naturally, we compete and we can back other men to get to the goal. That's the way we are. That's where we're raised. And it's not necessarily so overt, but it's in the DNA to a level. So when a woman dating several men, there is that initial like, who's the other guy? What's going on? Who we're competing with? But the truth is for a woman, when she gives her heart, and it may upset some people, when a woman's in her feminine, if she gives her heart, she can give it to one man only. She can't give it to 17 men. And that's the thing, is that she's not really being in a feminine, but she's dating several men. She's doing the same thing that men are, which is just playing the field. Because men, not saying they do play the field, but they can compartmentalize their emotional connection. That's a masculine trait. And if women do that, they're doing a masculine practice.
Uh-huh. So what about men? Can men only give, like, truly give their heart to one person at a time? Or do you think that men are wired to be able to give their heart to several people?
Well, the key thing is giving their heart. Men don't give the heart very easily. Because we basically think with our loins and our brain, we don't usually include the heart. And that's one of the biggest challenges that men have faced. And it's part of the evolution of what men are going through now as we move into third stage, which is the warrior. And it's really about being in an empowered place, which is heart-centered with a strong spine and direction versus the old model, which is basically like, balls-driven and macho and let's get things done and be the bad boy. So there's an evolution happening in the masculine, in the male species over time. And for me, part of that is that when we are in a relationship, we can see multiple partners and it will suck for the women because we don't give full attention to them.
Well, so I have a question because this, what about the whole thing about polyamory? You're saying that mm-hmm. women, specifically, you said that women can only give their heart to one man at a time, but that kind of flies in the face of like being able to love more than one person.
Yes, well, this is one of my favorite. This conversation started in my work big time about 3 years, 4 years ago when I was I got to be an expert on a panel at an event that was a. I don't want to qualify too much about it to keep it fairly discreet, but basically it was a performance circus type show about the sexual journey, about from puberty through to maturity of relationship, including polyamory, including homosexuality, including self exploration, all these different things. And in the question that came up afterwards, every single time, and partly because the audience was this way, the question came up about polyamory versus monogamy. And the first time the question came up, without me even thinking about it, what came out of my mouth was, you can go wide or you can go deep. And then the whole audience stopped, and I was like, okay, what did I just say and why did I say it? But when I went back and asked myself what that meant, it became clear that for me, polyamory is, let's put it this way, if you go to the full depth you can go to with one person, it'll take a lifetime. How can you do that with five people?
Yeah, but so this is the thing with polyamory, and we don't need to spend gobs of time on this, mm-hmm. but there's this percent. So polyamory doesn't always mean that you've got like 10 people. That's one version of polyamory. Polyamory could be like, four people that are all deeply in love with each other, right? There's that as well. So I'm going to say from my own life experience, but also just wanting to like respect the fact that I do believe people are capable of loving deeply and passionately in a variety mm-hmm. of different ways. It doesn't just have to be like one man, one woman to be, in order for it to be a deep, right? I understand the idea of like, if you've got 20 different people going on, like exactly, you're not necessarily going to go super deep with them. But I do know for a fact, because I know and have experienced being in relationship and loving deeply and passionately more than one person at the same time.
Right. I'm talking more about the extremes in a sense about how deep it can go. Because, yes, you can love deeply. I mean, I've been in rooms where I love 200 people deeply in that moment because of the connection we have and the love that we have there. But to have a fully expressed relationship with more than one person can be challenging to have everything, to have the full depth in both places or all four places. So that's just, and that is my opinion. I'm not saying it's the rules and the law of the way it is, but I believe my experience has been when I watch with clients and just friends I've known where when there's multiple partners, it's not, because the other thing is, well, to make it fun. If you have four people in a relationship with each other, now you not only have two people who have baggage, you have four people with baggage. That's a lot of baggage.
garbage unless you love to process. Some people love processing shit. That can be fun sometimes. It can be.
Sometimes.
Instead of the drama. So,
right.
So speaking of, you know, so we'll go back to, we're going to talk about having sex all day, the art of foreplay. And to put this in context, we will keep it in a, at least a primary one man and one woman or not. It doesn't even have to. Do you make a differentiation? I mean, it can be any sexual orientation, right? Or do you speak specifically to heterosexual couples?
Truthfully, as I'm not experienced in the homosexual paradigm, I can't speak as an expert in the area, but certainly the emotional journey and the connection there conversation I can bring to both straight and gay relationships, because it's all the same thing that way. But I'm not a sex expert in the area, so I don't usually work with gay clients because I don't relate to them the same way that I do straight clients. That's simple.
Okay. So beautiful. So the art of foreplay and the idea of having sex all day is fucking universal. We're just going to say it doesn't matter what your genitals look like and it doesn't matter who you happen to be rubbing them against.
Exactly.
Okay. So tell us about, I want to know, how do we have sex all day? School me on this.
I was thinking you'd be an expert yourself. truthfully for me, and this is the key. Yeah, I'm not talking about being in bed 24 hours a day. So let me burst that bubble right up front.
Disappointed. Disillusioned.
That's something you can teach, I'm sure. That's not my job. What I mean about sex all day is to be in the sexual energy all day with your partner, and it's something about being turned on, because the challenge also, frankly, sexually, is to be in bed all day long, which is wonderful for a weekend to do something like that, but to be turned on all day long in your life with your partner in your energy the whole day long, is very exciting, and it's sex basically, but it's sex without penetration, and it's sex without being in bed together necessarily, because it can be done from the communication, which can be simple text or notes or gifts or messages through the day. It can be a way of just being in each other's presence energetically, where you can be turned on all the time with your partner, which is sex to me, in the sense of you're playing with each other, you're dancing with each other, you're having foreplay, even if it's not physical, you're just stimulating each other so incredibly connected that it's just juicy all day long.
Oh, heck yeah, I totally hear you. There's nothing like getting a text from your lover at any time to make your loins drip.
Exactly.
Hear that? Hear that, guys and ladies? Especially after some good love making, a couple days after getting a little text about how great it was, get y'all the pump primed up for more. So you're saying consciously making an effort to maintain connection.
Absolutely, absolutely. Don't go to default and just think it's fine to let it go and you'll be fine when you see each other that night. Prime the pump before you get there.
So what kind of things do you give tips for this in your book? Because some people, you know, were just kind of like, well, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know, you know, they feel kind of maybe foolish. So do you have like a outline for us to use?
I don't personally have that. I can certainly recommend things, you know, if I work with clients directly, because the book is really, for start, the book is mostly PG anyway.
Okay.
It's meant to be principles and things. So, yes, use your imagination. If you want to quote things from books that you've read that are sexually booked or magazines even, there are some teachers out there that talk about how to, you know, sexting. But it's more about, and it's not, and I'm not a big fan of doing the whole picture thing, because that's just, one, it's too simple. And two, it's much better to leave things to the imagination. So it's the words you use. There can be simple things about what I'd like to do to you when I get you home. That sort of innuendo and invitation that can be such a stimulation, especially after, as you said, a passionate sexual exploration the night before or the weekend before, that is so inviting but also so stimulating, because the memory is so ingrained in the body so clearly. So when you just add more fuel to the fire, it just keeps percolating, getting hotter and hotter and hotter.
Oh, until you just explode. You just rip each other's clothes off when you walk in the door.
That's kind of the idea, yes.
Yeah, all right. And I have to say, from my point of view, as a woman, you know, women, we like to connect, right? That's what we yearn for. We yearn for connection. So when
yes.
I personally get a text that from the person's own volition, they send me a text and it lets me know, A, that they're thinking of me, so I feel
mm-hmm.
special and cared for, meets my needs for being, you know, cared for, but also it's maintaining connection. It's like, it's letting me know that they feel connected to me and they want to maintain connection and they want to continue cultivating that connection, which inspires me to want to continue cultivating that connection too.
Absolutely.
So I love that. All right. So foreplay, that's where we're going to think, foreplay. So other ways besides texting, what are some other ways?
Depending on what your geography is with each other, it can be, if you have proximity, you could leave little notes and not stay behind to have them read them. So if you leave, like leaving notes all over the house, like post-its on the mirror, in the kitchen. If, for example, one of you is at home all day and the other person leaves, they could plant things all day, you know, before they leave, the night before, or how they do it. So when you get up in the morning after your partner's gone to work, you walk around the house and discover notes and things hidden around on the pillows, and it becomes a treasure hunt of all these little notes. And the same idea as texting, but it's done where the person finds them at their own pace in physical format. It can be things like gifts that are dropped off, flowers that could be – you could actually be – I've seen this done before where the man has a flower delivered to his lady at her office, one flower every hour all day long.
Oh, my God. Oh, all right. Next person I date, that's what I want. Now, instead of an office, would be my home.
That's okay. That's what makes it so funny, because you know that's going to set up with the florist for business now.
Yes, exactly. All right, florist in the area. Right on. All right, well, we are going to take another quick break, and then we are going to talk about having better sex by being apart and what to talk about after sex. I'm really curious about that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mr. Barry Selby.
Are you ready to take a quantum leap in your life and experience your sexuality as a path of personal transformation, emotional healing, and spiritual growth? Are you ready to transform the lives of women and men all over the world? Then get ready for the 2015 Tibetan Tantra Certification Program. Be one of the first in the world to become certified in the only lineage-based style of Tantra in the West. Registration is open now until September 1st, and spaces are limited. Find out more at DavyWardTantra.com. Are you frustrated and unsatisfied with your orgasms? Do you struggle with getting out of your head and into your body during sex? Would you like to know more about your G-spot, female ejaculation, and the 11 different orgasms for women? Get the secret recipe for sexual satisfaction and start experiencing the pleasure and orgasms you crave. Visit DavyWardTantra.com and register for your free female orgasm guide and uncover the top three blocks preventing you from having the orgasms you desire.
To Better Love and Sex. This is your host, Davey Ward, and I am here with Mr. Barry Selby, the love confidant, and we are discussing his book, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, but even much more than the book, we're talking about relationships and patterns and how to break free and do's and don'ts. And so this was supposed to be our last question, but I want to get it in now in case we run out of time. Let's talk about after sex. What a concept. So, Barry, what should we be talking about after sex, aside from, like, how awesome it was and how good it smells and all that stuff?
Well, the truth is that many men don't talk after sex. So the first thing is the fact they do talk after sex is a win for the woman. So that's the first step. But beyond that, for me, what that is about is there's a space of intimacy and openness and heart-centeredness with the couple after sex, ideally. So, yes, it's nice to talk about how great it was and everything else. No criticizing and judging and making things wrong that happened before, first of all, obviously. But the next piece is tap into what's deep. So for me, the joy of that is what are the dreams? What's the vision? What do you want to go? Where, what's inspiring? So that it takes that sexual pleasure into the heart space. And it's really something special.
Ooh, well, that's kind of like what you're talking about. That's kind of like doing sex magic. So that's like at the point when you're at orgasm or just before orgasm, you visualize what you want to create. And then as you're orgasming, you send that intention out with your orgasm, right? So it goes to follow that after you and your partner have had juicy orgasm, and if the man retains his semen, he's less likely to fall asleep afterwards, and he's actually becomes multi-orgasmic so he can go again. And you can talk about like what you're saying, go deep, connect with the emotions, and all the rest of the fabulous sex you're going to be having because he's still awake.
So basically it's the after sex. So that's the after sex magic.
Yes, it's the after sex magic. But I think, you know, and I find for myself, so the protocol for sex magic is to, you know, kind of visualize before orgasm and then send, transmit the energy during orgasm. But I find for myself after orgasm, because every orgasm is a glimpse of voidness, right? So after orgasm, especially like lots of orgasms, there's this space that's created in my consciousness that's just like ripe and fertile and rich. And it's kind of like having the hands of God, and you can create whatever you want in that space.
Right. It's such a blissful, but also a very powerful crucible for creation. It's perfect, yes.
Beautiful. So you're saying after sex, connect more deeply. Continue cultivating the depth in your connection.
Because that's the thing that a lot of couples in the past didn't do. They actually would turn over and go to sleep, or they would do their own thing. It's like, no, sex is not just when you climax. It's beyond that space. The
yes.
connection, the intimacy, that intimacy is so needed.
Yes. And you know, and the bonding and the hormones, the bonding hormones and all that. And then we can take that out into the world. Like, that's the thing, is we create this bond during lovemaking, and we can take that bond with us out into the world.
Absolutely.
Which I think is so important, especially for long-term couples, you know, when it's the separation starts to happen. You become roommates. You're just kind of living together and not loving together.
That's the other question, the other point about spending time apart.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yes, because that was the one leading into. This is something I've also learned, and I pay the price for a couple of times too. When we get into a relationship, often we become so saturated and so happy with each other, we don't want to leave each other. And that's the trap. Because when we are like that, as you said, become just roommates, what's happening literally is that, basically, if you imagine like two magnets that you have that have strong polarity, mass, north and south, and you put them together, north and south, they're very strongly connected. You put north and north, they repel each other. So they have a lot of traction in the right way. You put magnets in a drawer for a few months, especially if they're put close together or if you force them together. Over a period of months, the magnetism dies down and they become basically just pieces of metal. Mm-hmm. The same parallel is true with couples. When a man and a woman, or a masculine and feminine partner, it works in gay relationships as well as straight relationships. When a masculine partner and a feminine partner are together for a long time, their polarity of masculine and feminine excitement and attraction diminishes over time because they become comfortable. So one of the things I recommend highly, and it may not be a massive amount of time, but for example, when women go to the spa, one of the things they're doing, even not realizing it, is attaching it to their feminine. They're reconnecting. When they go shopping with their girlfriends, it's reconnecting to their feminine. When the guy goes out and plays sports with his buddies, or goes hiking with his friends, or he goes out camping on his own, those are all rebuilding his masculine energy. And by doing those things, you recharge the batteries that create more attraction again. So it restores that polarity of attraction, that sexual chemistry that keeps going. So it's not chemistry that's just the thing of initial love. It's how do you rebuild that? Is having the time apart to restore your natural balance for the masculine and feminine polarity.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's a concept that not many people are probably familiar with, the masculine and feminine polarity, and why that's important to maintain in relationships.
Up until 7 years ago, I had no clue about it myself, and I didn't know that was what I was making a mistake in my past relationships. I was disengaging from the masculine to be loving, caring, compassionate guy, the nice guy, which is my default mode back then. So masculine and feminine is the energy. It's the natural residence of the male and female, but not always in 100% one or the other. Very few people are 100% one or the other. We're usually a blend of masculine and feminine in each of us. So both men have masculine and feminine energy, so do women, so do gay men, so do gay women. It's not about your gender, it's about your polarity. So the masculine energy is really the warrior type that goes and gets things done. It's usually about problem solving, end results, getting things done, and its natural state is emptiness and being done. The feminine energy was the old form, it was the gatherer. It's the one that kept an eye on 17 things at once. And also would be in the midst of everything all the time. Energy, movement, dance, everything else. Some little keys of this is like sitting still for meditation is a masculine practice. Doing yoga is a feminine meditation practice because it's movement.
Mm-hmm.
When a man and a woman are talking, this is a problem solver. I've given this to so many couples to say, if you want to have a healthy recourse in arguments or when a woman's upset, the one thing a man should never do, which he always does, is when a woman's upset, she's venting, One thing you don't, well, two things you don't do. One, you don't walk away, and two, you don't try to fix it.
Yes.
Because we naturally tend to fix it. And of course, if we think we're taking the blame, we'll run away. Not a masculine trait, that's a little boy running away.
Yes. So good point.
So for me, and this is one I had to learn, because again, I grew up in a relationship, in a paradigm where my parents never argued. When lots of women got upset, I didn't know what to do, so I panicked.
Yes.
Now I'm realizing I missed out on the opportunity for such an incredible connection, because if I'd stayed there and not take it personally, but stay present without trying to solve anything, which is another part of it, she becomes so much closer because she feels safe and trusted because I'm not running away and holding a space strong enough that she can vent into.
Yes.
And any man that can stand up to a woman's storm will be loved so deeply if he's willing to go through the distance.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. I'm so glad we closed with that point. We ended with that point. So how can people get a hold of you?
The easiest way is to go to my main page on my website, which is theloveconfidant.com. And I've got a free gift there and a video, and I actually made a new video, which I'm going to re-edit again, because I'm really blamed about people not getting support for their relationships, but they do for business and for health. It's like, when you want a way, relationships don't work. But if you go to my website there, there's also a link to my book on the website and my program and a bunch of other things on my main site, and just get me there.
Okay, so that is theloveconfidant.com.
Exactly.
All right, and people can find out all about you and what you do, and if they want to work with you, they can contact you there. They can grab a copy of your book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fabulous. And are you also on Facebook if people want to stay connected?
Yes. They can go to you can go to my business page and be on my fan page if you want to do that, which is barryselby.author. So it's Barry Selby, one word, then .author. Or if you find me on Facebook in that room still, because I've got quite a few friends at the moment, just Barry Selby on Facebook, and you can find me that way too.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Barry. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you this evening, and thank you for enlightening us on all these many topics. It's been a delicious conversation. I've enjoyed every moment of it.
It's been a pleasure for me. Thank you for having me on the show. I loved it.
Wonderful. And for all of you beautiful people out there listening, please do stay in touch. Let us know what you thought of tonight's show. Did it cause you to think? Did you learn? Did you grow in any way? Do you agree? Do you disagree with the information shared? And how will you apply it in your life if you agree or don't agree? And yes, I'm going to invite you to stay connected with me if you so choose, if you would like to do so. If you don't get enough of me on Thursdays and you want to hear more from me during the week, I'm going to encourage you to visit me at Davy Ward Tantra LLC on Facebook, Davy Ward Tantra on Twitter. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. And I'm also going to invite you to go ahead and subscribe to the show in iTunes, even if you have press that subscribe button once again, because you know what? Apparently you can never subscribe too many times. I don't know if it does anything, but I can keep subscribing and subscribing. And I don't know if it works, but they let me keep pushing the button. So I like pushing buttons. Thank you once again for tuning in and joining me. Stay tuned for another exciting adventure next week, and much love and many blessings on this Labor Day weekend.
You've been listening to Better Love and Sex with Davy Ward, the show that explores ways for you to awaken, heal, and transform your relationships in and out of the bedroom. Connect with Davy directly at www.davyward.com. That's Davy, D-E-V-I, Ward, W-A-R-D.com, and betterloveandsex.com. Like Better Love and Sex on Facebook and follow them on Twitter.